James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 say this: "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" In our study of the book of James, we have seen how James seems to be doing a running commentary, expounding upon what his brother, according to the flesh, Jesus, had to say in the Sermon on the Mount. And here in our text, we find James indeed echoing the teachings of Jesus about judging others that he gave in the Sermon on the Mount. Found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Our Lord Jesus says this in that sermon: "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, will be measured. It will be measured to you." So both James and the Lord Jesus speak on this matter of judging one another. And I believe what both of them tell us is that judging others is a very serious matter, because it not only involves other people, but it involves the law itself. We see that here in our text. He says, "But do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." So when we judge others, it doesn't just involve other people, it involves the law itself, and we'll see that in a few minutes. But before we begin the exposition of these two verses, let me tell you what we are not being told in these verses. We are not being told that we can never make judgments, that we can never judge something. How often do we hear people who have been offended because they have been called to moral accountability say, "Judge not, lest you be judged"? How many times have we heard people use the words of Jesus when they've been called to moral accountability? "Judge not, lest you be judged." Paul Copeland, in his book, True for You, But Not True for Me, says this: "It's been said that the most frequently quoted Bible verse used to be John 3:16, but it is no longer. Now it's, 'Do not judge, lest you be judged.'" And my friends, it does seem to be the most frequently quoted Bible verse by those who quote the Bible only when they believe it helps their cause. I see it all the time on Facebook. The culture screams at the church that we are being judgmental when we make moral judgments, whether it be about abortion or homosexuality or gender or marriage or ethics. Postmodern culture has seized on this concept of not judging as their justification for moral relativism and pluralism and situational ethics. So if we ever say anything is wrong as a church, or anything is immoral or unbiblical, the culture yells back at us, "You're judging and you're a Christian and you can't do that." Right? Well, Christians are clearly called upon in the Scriptures to be discerning. And discernment, or discerning, comes from the Greek word diakrina, which means to cut. To cut. To divide. To cut. That is to say that this is right and this is wrong, or this is true or this is false. Discernment is the ability to make clear distinctions between things. That requires making a judgment. And let me remind you of some of the judgments that we are commanded to make in Scripture. Civil magistrates are commanded in Scripture to judge in criminal and civil and moral matters. Judges, according to Romans chapter 13, are commanded to be a terror to evildoers. God was angry with Eli, the judge in the Old Testament, because he wouldn't judge evil even when it was right under his nose. The magistrate is to focus on judging and punishing lawbreakers. Every magistrate is supposed to be of the law and order variety. Remember, people got so upset with Trump because he said that he believed in law and order. You remember that? Well, our world hates law and order and prefers to be allowed to do whatever it wants to do. And if the judge not mania were taken to its logical extremes, then every courtroom in our nation would be shut down. Every judge would be laid off, and every attorney sent packing if it was carried to its logical extremes. Elders are commanded to judge in matters of church discipline. When sexual sin was rampant in the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul writes primarily to the elders in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12, and he says this: "Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge?" Jesus has given the power of discipline to the elders of the church. Believers are to judge false prophets and false teachers. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, Jesus commands believers to judge between true and false prophets. Jesus commands every believer to make righteous judgments, or to judge righteously or rightly. In John 7 and verse 24, it says, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." And it seems to me, if you study the Scriptures, all throughout the Scripture, there is the teaching everywhere in Scripture that believers are to make judgments, that believers are to be discerning. We are not to be naive. We are not. We are to be aware of the power of evil that's all around us. We must make distinctions between good and evil, between false and true. We are to test the spirits. It's all over the place. But this evening, we're going to see when judging is wrong. When judging is wrong, or the wrong kind of judgment. The first thing we see in here is a prohibition. Verse 11, James says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers." Do not speak evil against one another. Now, what's being addressed here, and you'll see this in other translations of the Scriptures, modern translations, is slandering or defaming other believers, slandering Christians, slandering saints, slandering people who sit on the pew with us, slandering redeemed people whom we're going to spend eternity with, people that you and I have that sevenfold unity with, described in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, where we are told that we share one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father. What's being addressed here is slandering fellow believers, speaking evil of fellow believers. Now, what is slander? Well, slander is making a false statement about someone else with the intention of damaging that person's reputation. In other words, it's making charges that there's really no truth to. It's creating and spreading false stories, i.e. lying. Lying about another believer. Now, why in the world would one believer do that to another believer? Why would a believer slander another believer? Why would one Christian slander another Christian? Well, James addresses this matter of speaking evil, slandering another believer, right on the heels of talking about humility, right? And there's a connection here between this speaking evil against one another, slandering one another, and humility. Because the sin of slandering another believer is evidence of a lack of humility. That's the connection. David, in Psalm 101 in verse 5, links slander to a lack of humility. He says, "Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look and an arrogant heart, I will not endure." So slander is linked to a lack of humility. It's actually connected to haughtiness and arrogance. Slander arises from the heart of a person who fails to consider others above themselves, or fails to consider the interest of others above their own. They fail to do what Paul commands us to do in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." What James is doing here is he's returning to this theme of self-control in regard to our speech, in particular, how we speak about other believers. He says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Don't slander one another. Don't speak evil of one another." Now, we as Christians, we should expect the world to speak evil of us, to speak evil against us. We should expect that. We should not be surprised when the world speaks evil against us or speaks evil about us. We are to expect it. It's simply going to be the norm. Jesus promised us that it would be the norm. But we should never expect being spoken evil of by fellow believers. We should never. We expect to be evil spoken of by unbelievers, but we should never engage in evil speaking against fellow Christians. The world speaks evil of Christians. The church is not supposed to. Now, are we being told here not to address sin or not to hold someone accountable for sin? Not at all. James is addressing sin right here. He's holding these believers accountable for the sin of speaking evil against one another, slandering one another. But we are never to be engaged in speaking evil of people who make up the redeemed of God, who make up the church. We're not supposed to be doing that. Are we to call out false prophets? Sure. Should we name names? Sure. I mean, Paul did it. Hymenaeus and Alexandria. Demas. He named people. We are to call out false prophets. We are to name sin. We are to address sin in the church. But we're not simply to be speaking evil against one another, making false statements with the intent of damaging one another's reputations, trying to hurt one another. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're not supposed to be about that kind of thing. That's what the world's about. That's not what we're to be about. And slander may be in mind here, but I don't think we're limited to slander. I don't think we are to be engaged in any kind of evil speaking against one another as believers, any kind. Let's think for a moment of other forms of speech that come under that umbrella of evil speech. How about gossip? Gossip. One person has said that gossip is taking a true story where it shouldn't go. Taking a true story where it shouldn't go. We've all heard it. Somebody comes up to me and says, "Have you heard about so-and-so? You won't believe what I heard about so-and-so." And then they proceed to tell you what's going on in so-and-so's life. Gossip is speaking a truth about a person that doesn't need to be told for the purpose of hurting them and defaming them. And gossip is addictive. It's as addictive as anything else. The scandal monger in the church has to get their fix. And they got to know about all kinds of things that are none of their business. And guess what? They need to pass it on. And so they get on the phone, or they get on Facebook, or they get on social media, or they do it over coffee. They do it any chance they get. They have to. In my previous church, we had a deacon. We didn't have elders and deacons. We just had deacons who thought they had way more authority than they did. But we had a deacon on our deacon board. And in some of those deacon meetings, we would handle some very, you know, sensitive things going on in the church. And the next day, he would be on the phone calling everybody, spending hours on the phone. He could do that. He owned his own business, so he just supervised. He pointed his finger like Ted does. But I'm just joking. He just supervised, and he would talk about those things that we discussed in meetings. I remember one time we went to a Christian Law Association seminar on redoing our bylaws and protecting ourselves, and he came back and told everybody, got on the phone and told everybody that we were conniving against the church. We brought videos back, and we watched them as a board, and then we were going to take them and let the church watch them. We weren't conniving against anybody, but that's what he was doing. So we decided to exercise church discipline, because that was just there was no excuse for that. And he caught wind of that, and before we could ever do anything, he left our church and went to another church, and they immediately made him a deacon because he was a deacon at our church. And within a week, we got four families from their church. So he started causing trouble pretty quickly. But gossip is addictive. And gossip is taking what may be true about someone else and passing it on for the purpose of hurting them. And oftentimes, the gossip will cloak what they're doing in piety. It comes under the cloak of, let me share a concern with you. Or, I have a prayer request. And they pass that along. Or in the South, they sanctify it by talking about somebody and then saying, bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. That's the way it goes. So gossip falls under that umbrella of evil speech. What about harsh criticism? Criticism for just to be criticizing. There's no intent to help anyone. It's not corrective criticism. It's just criticism. Just being critical, a critical spirit. Malicious accusations. Just saying things to people and about people. And what about exaggerating the faults of others? How many people do this? Exaggerate the faults of others. And you can tell when someone's doing this because they will always use one of two key words. And those key words are always and never. So-and-so never does this. Or so-and-so always does this. It's exaggerating another believer's faults. Speaking evil against legitimate authority, whether it be in the church realm or in the civil realm or at your job or in the home. Just speaking evil against authority in the church. All that falls under the umbrella of evil speech. And James says, don't be doing that. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. And we know he's talking to Christians here. He addresses them as brothers. And so this is not an evangelistic text. This is another one of those sanctification texts. It's about how we live and how we live before God and before our fellow man. But this is the prohibition. Don't be slandering one another. Don't be speaking evil against one another. And then he tells us what the tragic reality of all this is in verse 11. Look at what he says. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. That's the tragic reality of all. James says, what you're doing in reality, in judging your fellow believer, is you're judging the law. And you're making yourself to be a judge. What is slander? Slander is false condemnation of the innocent. That's what slander is. So when you slander a brother or sister in Christ, you're falsely condemning the innocent. But you've not just you've not just slandered somebody. In reality, what you've done is you've judged your brother or your sister in Christ. But you've not just judged your brother or your sister in Christ. You've judged the law. In fact, you've made yourself a judge. When you slander or speak evil of a fellow believer, you're setting aside the law of God. Well, what is that law? Some theologians call it the royal law. We find it all the way back in Leviticus 19 and verse 18. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And then in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 39, a lawyer comes to Jesus and says this, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You go to Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And whenever you slander and you speak evil of someone, what you're doing is you're setting aside the law of God, you're setting aside the commands of God, and you've made yourself a judge. You've judged that the law of God is not binding on you, so therefore you don't have to submit to it. You have become, in doing so, not a doer of the word, but a judge of the word. Not a doer of the law, but a judge of the law. And those who engage in evil speaking are saying that they're not under the law. They're not under the law, and they're attempting to push God off of his throne, off of his judgment seat, and seat themselves on it. And the person that does this neglects to realize that the law that God has given is for our obedience and not for our opinion. The law says that we are to seek one another's blessing, we are to seek one another's welfare, but slander and gossip and any kind of evil speaking are seeking to harm a brother, seeking to harm a sister. So we see a prohibition, do not speak evil against one another. We see the tragic reality of doing this. We make ourselves judges over the law. We set ourselves up as judges. We say the law is you know, we think we can pick and choose what parts of God's law to obey. So we make ourselves a judge. We're no longer a doer of the law, we judge the law. But then James makes a glorious declaration in verse 12. And what James is going to do is he's going to put us in our rightful place in verse 12. He says, "There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor?" James puts us in our place. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he puts us in our place. He says, look, there's only one lawgiver. There's only one judge. James says, when you are slandering and speaking evil against a fellow saint, you are placing yourself above the only one true lawgiver, the only one true judge, which is God himself. You've made yourself a judge of God's law. You've made yourself the judge. And any time that we do that, it's blasphemy and it's folly. Anytime we try to usurp God's place, usurp God's authority. It's blasphemy. It's folly. It is grave sin. God, the one lawgiver and judge, is the only one who has the ability to save and to destroy. In other words, what's being said there is that eternal judgment as well as temporal judgment are in the hands of God and in the hands of God alone. He is above all. He is judge of all. And God will judge everyone with omniscience and perfect wisdom. Reminds me of Romans 11:36, which says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." So there's only one lawgiver. There's only one judge. And then James asks the obvious question. He says, "Who are you to judge your neighbor?" You know, we have a tendency to forget who we are. And that's the reason why the scriptures are always quick to remind us. Who are you to judge your neighbor? You see, the evil speaker, the one who sits in judgment on others, the one who passes judgment on others, the one that sets himself or herself up as judge over God's law, has a greatly exaggerated view of themselves and a massive dose of humility is called for. And so what does James do? It's as if he splashes us in the face with a cup of cold water and he says, "Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You are a creature. You are a fallen creature. You are a poor, weak, foolish, dying worm. God will judge all people with omniscience and with perfect wisdom. You are ill-equipped to judge even one person. You can't even judge rightly your own heart." The scriptures tell us that. You don't have enough information to be anyone's judge. You don't know their situation well enough to be their judge. You don't know the motives of their heart. Who are you to judge? That last statement in verse 12 puts us in our rightful place. When we are wanting to sit in judgment of a fellow believer and slander them and speak evil of them, God is saying, "Who are you? Who are you?" Well, let me tell you who we are most like when we do that. We are most, when we slander people and we speak evil of fellow believers, we're most like the devil. Diabolos, devil, means slander. In Revelation chapter 12, what is he called? He's called the accuser of the brethren. He is the speaker of evil against God's people. That's his work. That's what he does day in and day out. And we're being told in these verses that that's exactly what we're like. And what we need to do is we need to stop this evil practice. Because if slander and evil speaking pervade the life of this church or any other church, it'll eventually destroy the fellowship. It'll destroy the Christian community. It always has. It always will. So we're being told, look, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Something that we need to be reminded of. What we should be doing in our speech and in what we say to one another's, one another should be for the blessing of one another, the good of one another, the welfare of one another. Nothing we say to one another should have evil intent in God's house. Period. Period. So may we take this to heart and remember.